This week, we're getting into the workshop of randomly choosing verses and framing them in the big picture we've set forth for ourselves. This was genuinely random and a little scary for me in that way because I like a plan. But I wanted to show this can really be a tool for you to use for any part of the Bible. It paid off in a great way. The verses we dealt with were so great, and once again we see that God desires to meet us on these pages. Acts 17:27 says, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. He wants to be found. Let's really seek after him. So these verses were pulled from all over the Bible, but the message is cogent. Now we're going to open our Bible randomly. This is really random. And find three passages. And then we're going to frame them in the big picture message. This week is really workshoppy, like I said. So let's do that. We just read that. That's why I'm open to that. Okay. So I know you guys did yours already. I'm going to do one. Oh, it's one of my favorites. Okay. I just landed on Joshua 2. 1. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. Now, okay. This one's not overtly clear, obviously, because I love this passage. Rahab's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I'm going to try not to overcomplicate that my interpretation with my global understanding of that passage, and just say, I'm going to ask those three questions. What does it teach me about me? What does it teach me about God? And how does it show me the need for a savior? I'll say, what does it teach me about me? Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. Sometimes you got to read the context. I will say, I mean, sometimes it's not going to jump out at you. I happen to know that this is right after Joshua was commanded by the Lord, be strong and courageous, which one of my other favorites is Joshua 1:8. But so it's right after that. And so I know that this is Joshua being obedient to the Lord commanding him, which teaches me that my obedience will be, you know, met by God's faithfulness. But frankly, they went into the house of a prostitute named Rahab, which reminds me that we live in a sinful world. She's a prostitute. And that while I thank God have never been a prostitute, I've made some bad decisions. And knowing that Rahab was delivered reminds me that my God delivers. There is no sin that's too big for him to deliver us from. And it reminds me about me that I'm still a hot mess. Like, I'm no different than, that's why she's my favorite. I'm no different than she. She and I are the same. So for me, Rahab is a great reminder about my own sinfulness and God's deliverance. That all Rahab, she says later, I've heard of your God. And so I'm going to put my faith in you guys. I'm going to side with you guys. And then, I don't know if you guys know this, but Rahab is actually in the line of Jesus.
Is she?
Yeah. So talk about redemption. That I love that. So, you know, just reminds me of the God I serve, that he will redeem and beyond and bless beyond. Yeah, she is. I'll tell you about it later. Okay. So that's my first scripture that I'm asking those questions that we're trying to drill into today. Was that good? Does that make sense? Okay, do you guys have one? Let's tackle your Daniel one. Do you want to tackle the Daniel one?
I do. Okay. Sure. Yeah, this was a tough one when I pulled it up last night. So it's Daniel 2:40. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything, and as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others.
Okay, now I'm going to say that we started tackling this off recording, and I stopped us, but I want you to go down the road you were going down, because I think it's productive, and then I'm going to sort of redirect.
Okay, so we did a study in Daniel, and it's very based on prophecy, and so the discussion that we've had is that the iron is, I don't always get things right because my brain doesn't remember quite accurately, but I believe that it's the iron and the clay and the feet that crushes everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on a kingdom that comes through and takes over pretty much the world at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So that something better can come up and rise out of that.
Mm-hmm. So I love that you did a whole study on Daniel and you have an intimate understanding of what that prophecy means. But what does that mean to you personally today? How is that going to impact you as you walk out of here and live your life?
So I know that there's different irons in our world that break us down. And so I need to make sure that that I keep looking to God, because He is the one, Christ is the one that's going to be the light and lift us out of that crushing, because we're crushed every day by something. You know, we have kids.
They do.
We're being crushed all the time. And so if you know, it's really sad to me for those people who don't have a hope and a future. You know, go back to Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorites, gives us a hope and a future, and Jesus being the light is that hope in that future.
Do you have any input on that passage? It's okay if you don't. I just don't want to be the only one speaking.
No, not really. I mean, I'm good.
Okay. So, everything you said is right. And this is the beautiful nature of Scripture. Because you studied it and you have a more intimate, well-versed understanding of that particular piece of Scripture and the prophecy therein, you can receive that in a way that is a depth of intimacy different than someone else. But I want to make sure that we recognize that a new believer or someone who's been a believer for 20 years who comes across Daniel, because not everybody spends a lot of time in Daniel. We know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know the fiery furnace. We know the stuff. We know the, you know, the stuff that's in my children's Bible, the stuff that we raised on in Sunday school.
Lion's Den.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But we might not understand or be familiar with all the prophecy. And then that's where people get tripped up again. Mm-hmm. So what I want to say is, there's also, you know, look, this is sort of counterintuitive what we're doing today. Normally, we would dig deeper. What does this mean? What is behind it? What's the context? What's the prophecy? And what I want to retrain our brains towards today, just a little bit, is coming up a level. Instead of being down in that, which is a great place to be and God meets us there, come up a level. What does that mean? What is that all about? What's the deal with prophecy? To me, I'm going to ask these questions again. What does it teach me about my God? What does it teach me about myself? And how does it point me towards my need for a Savior? Specifically, what does it teach me about God? That God knew at the time of this writing what would happen hundreds and thousands of years later. And I can hold that in my heart and say, there's nothing God doesn't know, past, present, or future. And I can be confident in that. It's so much more simple. And sometimes I need to cling to the simplicity of my faith. Sometimes I really need to unpack it and get it and deconstruct every little, you know, pronoun and preposition. And sometimes I just need to remember God is in control. He knows what's going to happen to me. He knows what's going to happen to the world. And He's pushing things in His direction. And I don't need to fuss about it. You see what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
I just come up out of that just a little bit and say, He He has this. He has that. He knew. He delivered. And he'll do the same for me. Go.
So then that brings up a whole different topic, which I do believe we've covered previously, is that when you are crushed by iron, you know, why does God let bad things happen to good people? Mm-hmm. And so we know that all of this is filtered through God. Mm-hmm. And it's to help us turn to him. But I don't want to get us completely off base. But
no,
that's, you know, it's tough.
How do
sometimes.
We know that, though, Aime? How do we know that? You said,
I guess because we've lived it.
Yeah, you're speaking
and we've
in
been
an
there.
Assumptive point
we
of view.
Know.
You're saying, well,
we
know
this.
How do we know?
We've been there, done that. Mm-hmm. Been there, done that. And
with,
you keep turning.
Yes, but those of us who really know it because we have been there, but stayed under his wing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was faithful to that. And he showed us the places in Scripture where he was faithful to other people before we could write the story of how he was faithful to us. So we can take that story in that season of sifting, and then we build those stories in our own personal way. Like, you see, this is what, I mean, this is great because it's how we should feel. You're 1,000,000,000% right. We do know Jeremiah 29:11, but how do we know? And that's kind of, I mean, I think that's the name of this Bible study. How do we know?
How do we know?
How do we know? We know by learning and trusting. And sometimes that learning, I know personally, I get so jammed up in the mental, intellectual, I forget the heart stuff. And say, oh, what this really means is God loves me. I'm a sinner. But he provided for that through his son, Jesus Christ. And to me, that's so much more emotional than all the thinky stuff that I get sucked into, which I love the thinky stuff. The thinky stuff is my favorite place. But, you know, and those of you who know me know the emotional stuff is not my favorite place. But, so I need to bring it back there and say, this is our God. In Daniel, when he gave a dream to a sinful king, and let Daniel interpret it for the world to hear. It was prophecy that reminded us, I know, I am God, and I know what's to come. And I'll be with you, and I'll even use godless people, like that king, to fulfill my kingdom.
Yeah, and Rahab.
Yeah, yeah. And I will turn things that need to be turned. I will smash things that need to be smashed because I am God and I'm going to get us there, guys. We're getting there. We're going to get there. And reading prophecy and then recognizing how God has already played out so much in his kingdom calendar through history. And you know what? There's a lot of speculation. Was it Alexander the Great? Was it Hitler? It doesn't matter. What it was is that God knew all of these things. And frankly, there's a cyclical nature to it. In fact, that's the layers of that particular idol, that there's a cycle to the way the world behaves and how God delivers us. And isn't there a cycle in my life the same way, the way that I behave and the way that God delivers me? I mean, it's just, if you just don't get uber thinky about it and you just look at it from this amazing perspective, it's miraculous. It's really miraculous, you know? Oh, I see, God. I see what you're doing. And to be able to take that perspective and say, I see what you're doing, I just don't want us to miss that. And so I do think that in Bible study, when we get down into it and we read the commentaries, and I'm all about my Strong's Concordance. I love my Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. I love it. I love to think of how was this phrased in the original Greek? Guess what? Doesn't matter. You know, God's speaking to my heart. Stop worrying about, was this the same word that was used over here? He's speaking to my heart and he's saying, look at this plan. Here is my plan. And you're in it. And we're all moving together towards my end, which is delivering my people. into the new heaven and the new earth, which I love. And it's easy for me to forget. Okay, so do you see, I didn't want, like, off recording, we were like, ooh, that one, how does that one fit? But
mm-hmm.
it always fits, and that's why I don't want us to shy away. So what other random passages did you guys come up with?
I came across Ezekiel 10:1.
Oh, good. Read that.
Yeah. And then I looked, and behold, on the expanse that was over the heads of the cherubim, there appeared above them something like a sapphire, in appearance like a throne.
Okay.
Can we keep going?
You can, but if we just had that whole conversation about, I kind of want to jump in and snatch that up, but I want to hear your interpretation first. I know I see it on your face. The people can't see your face. But just take a stab at it.
Well, I have to draw from the context around it, and I know that the heading of the passage is "The glory of the Lord leaves the temple." And I know Ezekiel goes into this whole description of, you know, this is where the... I always equate this passage to the UFO passage of the Bible, because, you know, that's what I grew up thinking. I don't know if that's now the common thought of it now, but
who else saw what happened, Aaron?
Who's isn't it?
Want some help?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what I want to say. And again, tons of commentaries have been written on these passages. Tons of interpretations of these passages. And those are great. And I need to say again, I'm a person who loves that. I love diving in, way over my head, into the scripture and just be like, God, show me. Show me yourself. I want to learn. I want to understand. Learning, for me, lights me up. Having said that, here we have a guy named Ezekiel. Not different from me and you, not different from me and you, in that he purposed towards a relationship with the Lord purposed toward a relationship with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was holy and set apart. Doesn't Hebrews tell us we are holy and set apart? We are a priest, a nation of priests.
Mm-hmm.
So can we agree that Ezekiel, that's the first thing we have to agree to. Ezekiel, not different from you and me, just an ordinary guy, plucked out to do a job in the time he was plopped into. And we know that the New Testament says that we are fitted for works, good works that we're supposed to do in our time, right? So Ezekiel, same as me and you. If you take it in that context, and I'm going to ask the questions again, what does this teach me about God? What does this teach me about myself? And what does this teach me about my need for a Messiah? What does that teach me about God? That God will use you if you're willing, and he will bless you with miraculous experiences and moments of intimacy with him if you make yourself available to that. So it teaches me I can be used that way. That's what it teaches me about myself. It teaches me that God can use anyone. Ezekiel was, you know, wasn't like Ezekiel was, he was just like us, I'm telling you. You know, he's just like, I mean, other than, you know, he's a guy. And so, to me, those first two questions, what does it teach me about God, and what does it teach... Again, not to get jammed up in, what does that mean? What is that vision? What is that... What happened there? But to take it just on a more surface level and say, oh, God is a God of wonder. God is a God of miracles. God can't be put in a box. God will surprise you. You see what I'm saying? That's what it teaches me about God. And of course, if I want to spend you know, 5 weeks in a study about Ezekiel and this particular vision, it's available to me. God will be even more deeply and intimately available to me in that time, in that experience. But before I get in there, what is it teaching me about myself? What is it teaching me about God? It's teaching me that God will reach into history, will reach into my life, and shock me with his godness. You know, we can talk about why his presence left the temple. We can talk about what Ezekiel was tasked with doing after that. Or we cannot talk about that. We can just take that one moment in time and see it for what it is. This unbelievably miraculous experience that one of his servants was privileged to experience. And say, I'm the same. How can I make myself available like Ezekiel, like Isaiah? We say, here I am, Lord. We sing that song that is Isaiah. You know, how can I make myself like these servants in the Old Testament? How can I learn from them and make myself available to the God that I serve? And what will he do in return? Because it's these guys, I'm telling you, they're no different than we are. They're no different. In fact, we have the advantage of the New Testament perspective. Our faith should be deeper. Our faith should be more well-versed, broader. So we should be coming at it from more ease of availability. I know we don't, but we should, we could. And if we simplified it the way that Ezekiel did, the way that Isaiah did, the way that Jeremiah did, and Samuel, here I am, Lord, speak. What could God do? And so to me, that's what that passage speaks to. Just don't overthink it. You know, you're like, what's the context? And that's awesome. I want to pause the recording and figure out all the questions that scripture raises. I totally do. But before I do that, I want to train myself to read every passage in the light of this big picture that God means for me, not to miss. He means for us not to miss it. He does not want us to miss it. He wants us to know he loves us, we're sinners, and he provided. When we miss that, we miss the relationship with God. We deepen the relationship every time we study intently. And I want to know what all that means. I don't. And I know that God will meet me in that place when I sit down and study that. But I also know he's not going to wait to meet me until I go to that place. He's available right on the surface of that page. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's do another one. One more. Pull some.
All right. So let's do Isaiah 26, 1.
Okay. Speaking of Isaiah.
A song of praise. In that day, the song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts.
I'm sorry, I didn't get to the passage yet. I'm just a little slow of fingers. What was it? Isaiah what?
26:1. In that day, the song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts.
Oh, that one's easy, right?
Yeah.
So give it to me.
You do it.
No, I'm already sitting here
in
myself talk. She's like, yeah, it's easy.
It
you
is.
Go.
Yeah, you do it. You do it. It's easy. No. It's never easy.
It is. Come on.
You know, how does this truth impact my relationship with God? God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. It's Christ. It's all about Christ.
Mm-hmm. Except it's in Isaiah.
Except in it's Isaiah, which is the Old Testament. So it's, you know, pointing to the coming.
Yep.
Don't miss the
first part.
In that day the song will be sung?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a praise.
Yes.
That's what God wants from us.
Yeah. And, you know, what does this... Yeah. What does this teach me about God? It shows me that, you know, what does it teach me about me? Let me take a minute just to rejoice. We do a lot of studying, How much do we just praise and rejoice and just marinate in the joy of the Lord? Like, when's the last time you just soaked in the joy of the Lord? We're such consumer-based faith that we're like, what does it mean to me? What does it mean in my situation? Give me the answer. I need some wisdom. I need a word. But what if...
I need a word.
What if... I need a word. What if we just soaked in the joy of the Lord? You know? So what does that teach me about myself? That sometimes I just need to sit and praise my Lord. That He has made salvation the walls of the city that I live in. That's, to me, how awesome is that? Slow down. Stop making it complicated. Stop worrying about what it can do for you. And just soak in it for a minute. Like, I have a relationship with the God of the universe who has provided for me through His love salvation like walls around my life. No one can break those walls. I'm just going to sit in that. I am safe. I am loved. I am eternally secure. No matter what's happening in my life right now, those walls can't be torn because they're built by the God of the universe. Like, just sit in that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We think. What does it mean? What does it mean? Well, let's talk about Judah. Let's talk about the city. What does the city represent? It just, don't do that for a minute. Do it sometimes. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying don't ever do it. Obviously, you know, it's me. I do it all the time. I love to unpack it. But sometimes just don't. Just don't. Just say, oh my God, You are amazing. What You've done for me, what You've done for the world, what You've done through history, and what you're going to do, and that You've called me to be a teeny tiny little part of it, that's amazing. I'm just going to sit in that for a minute.
There are some times I wish we were all together in a big room. This is one of those times. I want to share with you in the wonder and the spectacle of our God, that He has built a wall of salvation around each of us and nothing can take that away. I hope as we move on, you won't forget to see God's picture in your life every day. He loves you so much. Don't miss it.